Maybe we could.
Excuse me.
Greetings to each one of you this morning. What a blessing to be here together, hearing the testimonies of God's children. Thank each one of you for sharing. It was a precious time to sit together and hear from the Lord, hear what the Lord is doing in each heart. We've been sitting a while. Maybe we could all stand and I have a word of prayer. Lord, as we have gathered here this morning, we thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord, that speaks and guides and leads and directs, convicts. And it does many things, Lord. It ministers severally as it will. I just want to thank you, Lord, for this time together, for each family who's here, each one who is stepping forward in baptism today, just to move forward in their life. They've been born again and desiring to be obedient to your word. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. So I thank you, Lord, for this time together. I pray that you would multiply these few thoughts that I have here this morning in the short time that we have, Lord. And just ask that you would speak to us through your word. Oh, Lord, my desire would be is that you would be glorified here further as you have been already this morning. And that there would be a continued freedom from sin's power, experienced by all those desiring baptism and all who are under the sound of my voice here this morning. So we thank you for each one, each visitor, each family member that's here this morning. We pray that you would bless us together today and cause us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We love you this morning, Lord, and desire that you could be exalted and adored in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 3, I'll read verses 1 through 6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill. But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto them, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So this morning, as I was considering that, I was thinking of the baptismal applicants, those getting baptized today, that's it's the entrance of a life in Christ. It's an entrance of going on with God. It's the first step of the rest of your life. And so my heart would be this morning that you would learn to hold your Father's hand. You know, all of us, or I should say this, I should say many of us, we have memories, maybe fond memories of when we were a child, when we would walk into town or a store or into church or whatever it might have been, you can remember grabbing for your father's hand. And when you're at a very young age, maybe you only had a big enough, your hand was very small, so you could just grab his finger and you would hang on. And there was a comfort. There was a comfort in that as a child. Just putting your hand in your father's and you were walking along. And there was a great consolation in that. You know, even if you only had one finger, you didn't have his whole hand. But you were comforted. And so that's what my heart is for those this morning, just as some encouragement as you press on and begin your journey, or continue your journey, I should say, maybe. That you would grab the hand of God. The hand of God is a precious hand. Maybe if Ethan, could you come up here just a minute? I wanted to draw something on the board with you here. Just as an example, you know, we're very limited on examples that we can give, and so sometimes just a little word picture or a little illustration, put your hand right up here on the board like that, and spread your fingers out a little bit. Yeah, Ethan here. How old are you, Ethan? You're 7 years old. Okay, you can go back and sit down. Okay, this is Ethan. And he's 7 years old. And he's beginning, you know, he's just a young man here in the fellowship. And this is my hand, you know, I'm 50 years old. As we look at those, you know, just as we go on in life, we start out as a babe in Christ. We start out walking with the Lord Jesus. And we don't know the difficulties that we'll face. We don't know, you know, at what stage between 7 and 50, you know, God may call us home at 8 years old, or it could be at 49, or it could be at 50. And so it's a journey. It's a journey that we can walk this morning and just bring glory to Jesus. But through it all, just remembering that God's mighty hand, remembering God's mighty hand, and just to hang on to that hand of God. You know, just look at your hands this morning. As you look at them, you know, you are blessed to have hands this morning. Many people wish they had functioning hands. Ecclesiastes says in chapter 9, verse 10, whatever thy hands find to do, do it with all thy might. Do it with thy might. And we want to look at the hand of God in my life, in your life, a little bit later here. We can use our hands to build, or we can use our hands to demo or tear down. So our hands are a precious thing. And it's just an illustration that I wanted to give is of God. How he says, I want to hold your hand. And he said, his hand... He said, there's no one going to snatch you out of my hand. But we can walk away from it. You could say, you know, you're walking through the store with your little child. And all of a sudden she or he sees these little toys along the side, and they have a hold of their daddy's hand, but all of a sudden, the toys of the world, or this present evil world. You say this little one, all of a sudden he sees this candy over here, and he'll just release the grip on the father's hand and just kind of walk over there. And the father keeps walking, and as they're over there, all of a sudden they see the candy and they're all enamored by it, and suddenly they realize they turned around and there's a stranger standing there. And they grab for the stranger's hand, and then they're frightened, and they begin to run. They run down the hallways of the store looking for their father. Where's my father? And oh, the joy when they turn the corner and there's their father and they run into an embrace. They embrace one another. And I think I just want to use that as an illustration, you know, this morning, that the embrace of the world is nothing. It is very feeble compared to the embrace of our Lord Jesus. And so may we strive to remember that as we are at times, maybe through various circumstances, we may be enamored or tempted to let up or give up or whatever it might be this morning. But I wanted to look at this a little bit with this man with this withered hand. This man, number one, we don't read anything about this man asking to be healed. He doesn't say, you don't read there that it says he was just standing there apparently. Somehow he may have heard that Jesus was coming to the synagogue that day. We don't know, but he was standing there. And he may have been, just too shy to get enough courage to ask Jesus to come and heal his hand. So he just went to the synagogue and maybe stood in a corner, stood by the door. He was waiting. He was probably anxious. This was his living. It was his right hand. Luke is the only one, and Luke 6 says it was his right hand. You know, your right hand is it's an important hand. When you consider your right hand being, you know, withered or, you know, it seems like what we read here, if you look at some of the extra biblical writings, it's indicating here that he was likely in an accident or a stonemason that had a big rock fall on his hand, something along those lines. But in that day, he couldn't just go on unemployment or whatever. His living was done. He may have had a family. He may have had children that were hungry, and yet he had very little access or ability to make money for food. So as he was standing there, I believe it was to his delight. I believe it was to his delight that he saw Jesus Christ come in. And he may have feared the Pharisees. He may have been intimidated by them as well. It says here that it was Jesus was angered at him. Jesus looked around about on them, verse 5, with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. So we don't know what all the setting was there. And it's also common for us at times to hide our withered parts. Maybe when we have something that's withered, we tend to hide it. I know of a little boy who was maybe 5 or 6 years old. He got his hand in a grinder. In a meat grinder, and he took off his hand right here, right above the wrist here. And some time ago, I don't see him often, but every once in a while I see him. We went to his place for supper some time ago this past winter, and we walk in, and I noticed that he had this hand in his pocket. You know, the other hand was out, and he had his hand in his pocket. And it was a withered hand. But for some reason, he has no reason probably to be ashamed of it. But it's just a natural instinct. It's a withered hand, so I'm going to hide it. And sometimes we do that in the body of Christ. We hide our withered hand because we're ashamed of it. But so then he, you know, after someone encouraged him to do that, he pulled it out and everything was fine. But he just had he has this habit of just hiding his hand. And I think that's what it was with this man with this withered hand in Mark chapter 3. He was standing somewhere in the synagogue and it seemed like he was, you know, not at a place where he would ask Jesus to heal him. But I can imagine the delight when he heard Jesus call upon him. So this morning, are you here with a withered hand? No, it may not be your actual hand that everyone sees, but maybe there's another part of your life that's withered. Maybe it's a besetting sin. You know, there's many areas that are withered, and God wants to heal it. But He wants you to stretch it forth. He wants you to stretch it forth. Stretch forth your hand. Maybe a relationship, maybe a besetting sin, maybe at home, at work, at church, whatever it is. Just remember this man with the withered hand and how Jesus ministered to him. And then he could go forward and work again and provide for his family. It was his right hand. You know, that was significant for him. You know, it was not only for work, but this was in Old Testament times. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He couldn't protect his family. And that day when when someone did something to you, you were permitted to do it back to them. That was the old covenant. Jesus said in the New Testament, He said, turn the other cheek. Do good to those who despitefully use you. I remember my mom often tells me the story of she has an older brother, John. And one day when he was just young married, he was in the sawmill, and they had a gang rip, and he would reach under there to pull out the trimmings, you know, the edges that were shaved off. They would hang down and get in the blades. I remember seeing that gang rip when I was a young boy. But anyway, he reached under there one day when he was, I think, 25. I don't know the exact age. But when he reached over there and pulled down on this piece, suddenly it pulled his arm upward and it cut it off right here. And my mom says that he dropped to his knees immediately, and he began to recite the Lord's Prayer. But he has a withered hand today. And that's not salvation. You can have a withered hand, but that won't save your soul. You can still have a hard heart. You can still be just dead in your sins. So my prayer is this morning that we would see the withered hands that we have and just stretch them forth to Jesus and allow Him to heal them. You know, there's people that are professional pickpocketers. I remember my dad telling a story once when he was in Belize. They would travel on the bus down there, and through the hours of the night, and there was times when it was standing room only. So they would stand in the aisleway of the bus. And he said one night he was standing there, or I'm not sure if he was standing or sitting, but he said for some reason he would keep checking his wallet, because there was professional pickpocketers in those days. And there still is. But he said that he would always check for his wallet. And one time he brought his hand back, and just as he said, this pickpocketer had his wallet right at the edge, and it was just tipping out. And he had no credit cards or anything. They had basically their life savings heading to Belize for 2 years. And so he said he grabbed that hand, and he just held it tight. And he said the guy disappeared, but it was that close that he lost, you know, his wallet with all his valuables. So those are things that hands can do. Hands can build. Hands can bless. Or hands can destroy. Hands can steal. There's so much that our hands can do, but we need to commit them to Jesus and let stretch them forth, that He can heal them and make them what He wants them to be this morning. So I don't know what for withered hand that you're praying for this morning. Maybe it's not your own. Maybe you have a son or a daughter or a husband or a friend this morning who has a withered hand and is still dead in their sins and trespasses. Just ask them to stretch forth their hand to Jesus, and He will heal them this morning. Maybe it's a marriage that's difficult. Maybe it's a marriage that is on the rocks. Maybe it's a serious health problem. An addiction to prescription medication. As the one brother shared here in his testimony, bad music. You fill in the dotted line. God knows what you need. Music, media, whatever it is, God will fill you. He will heal you of your withered arm if you stretch it forth. If you bring it forth and say, Lord, I want to be healed of this withered hand, this besetting sin. So I think this morning we need to remind each other to take my hand and put it in God's hand, in the Father's hand, and reject this world's hand. This world has a pull, but it is very temporary and it will never fulfill you. This world's pull is so shallow. It is so beggarly. It is so amateur compared to what Jesus Christ is preparing for those who love Him at this time. Speaking of God's hand, He is at the right hand of His Father, interceding for you this morning. Is there someone in here this morning who's waiting like this man was? We don't know how long he was waiting. He was waiting at the synagogue for Jesus. And then Jesus came and He said, stretch forth your hand. Another place He said, stand forth, which is verse 3. And it says, arise, go out in the middle. So if you have a withered hand, according to what Jesus was saying here, is arise and come out here in the middle and hold up your hand and Jesus will heal you according to your faith. You know, just imagine the joy after this encounter with the Savior. Can you imagine the joy that he experienced when he left that synagogue? He got out on the road, on the pathway. Can you imagine how he probably ran back to his home? I don't know, maybe he had a wife, maybe he didn't, maybe he had children, I don't know. Maybe he was still at home. But we know this, whoever his family and his siblings were, I believe he ran to them. Say, my hand is healed. I can now work. Jesus, he's the one who healed me. The powerful hand of God. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So just thinking of the Father's hand, and that, I don't know what the hand of God looks like this morning, but I know it's a mighty hand. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. If we won't humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, I'm afraid there's no hope for us this morning. Isaiah 48:13, mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call upon them, they shall stand up together. Job 12, 9 and 10. Who knoweth not that all these things the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing? This is very clear this morning. In whose hand the soul is the soul of every living thing, which is God, and the breath of all mankind. So your soul this morning is in the hand of God, my friend. And Revelation 1:17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I think this was John talking about Jesus. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. This was Jesus. He laid his right hand, the right hand of God, upon John. Fear not, I am the first and the last. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Isaiah 40, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, speaking of God, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighted the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? You know, the hollow of God's hand. I don't know what that looks like to me, to you this morning. I can't explain it. I can't comprehend it in my own mind. But it says he holds the earth in the hollow of his hand. So he doesn't need a counselor. He doesn't need to be instructed. He knows you and I very intimately. He knows everything about you and I this morning. He knows why you're here this morning. You know, one of the young sisters had a little part in her testimony about, I wonder sometimes why I'm here. I can tell you why you're here this morning. And that is to serve Jesus Christ. And to give your life unreservedly to Him without any reservation. He will do more. The rewards in heaven, the beauty of heaven, the glories of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. You know, the wrath of God. You know that if God's hand is against us, that's a mighty hand. And so we need to surrender to the Lord Jesus and His wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 2:6-8, in closing, God's wisdom revealed by the Spirit. Verse 6, it says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So that's a promise there to us that if everything you see and everything you can touch and everything you can taste, it is coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood that. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom of God is found in Jesus Christ. God's wisdom is Jesus Christ. That mystery of God and the wisdom of God is revealed and manifested through Jesus Christ this morning. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I know there's many visitors here, but my plea to you this morning is sell everything else and find Jesus. Stretch forth your hand this morning. Maybe you want to do it outside in your car. Maybe you want to go back to your home and pray, whatever it is. Or maybe you want to come forward up here and be born again. Pray for the Lord's grace to be manifested in your life. Whatever it is, it's truly worth it all. There's nothing here, friends, but disappointments on this side of eternity. And so I just want to bless each one who shared this morning. Thank you for sharing your testimony. I was blessed and encouraged by it. And may God be with us this afternoon. Lord bless you.